We're going to review first what we covered 3 weeks ago, because last week was Backyard Fellowship, 2 weeks ago was the storm, so 3 weeks ago. The first principle, the fear of the Lord. And we'll just do these briefly here. They're in your notes as well. But first off, we answered the question, what is the fear of the Lord? And so we described it this way. The fear of the Lord is the basis for understanding truth. And we have four subpoints there. We must begin with the fear of the Lord to gain knowledge. We must begin to fear the begin with the fear of the Lord to gain wisdom. Rejecting the fear of the Lord brings God's rejection in life. God works against us that way. He has under no obligation to work on your behalf if you ignore or reject what he says. And then letter D, we understand the fear of the Lord through effort and time. It's not something we learn instantaneously or grasp fully. It's something you pursue. Okay, Proverbs 2, we looked at verses 1 through 4. It talks about you lift up your voice, you search for the fear of the Lord, or wisdom, and search for understanding as treasure, then you will find the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it's a process. Number two, the fear of the Lord involves a right view and response to sin. A right view and a right response to sin. Letter A, to fear God is to hate evil. There's no other way to put it. A person who is fearing the Lord is hating evil because God hates evil. You cannot fear God and then embrace the very things God is against. Letter B, when we fear God, we choose him over sin in our actions. Notice in chapter 3, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and what? Depart from evil. That's the right response in the fear of the Lord. Number three here, the fear of the Lord brings blessings and benefits as a normal path. The fear of the Lord brings confidence. The fear of the Lord brings honor. The fear of the Lord brings life. The fear of the Lord brings safety. And the fear of the Lord brings satisfaction. Every one of those is something worth pursuing. Okay? All of those are found in the book of Proverbs. Now what I would like to do is shift your attention to the book of Psalms. The first principle, the fear of the Lord, what does the fear of the Lord look like in action, okay? So it's going to now apply it to activity, and we're going to look at 14 actions or activities that are involved in the fear of the Lord. If someone is fearing the Lord, they will be doing these types of things, okay? And all of these are found in the book of Psalms, all right? So we just define the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs, and now we're going to look at what the fear of the Lord looks like in action in the book of Psalms. Number one, and again, 14 actions describing the fear of the Lord, what the fear of the Lord looks like. Number one, bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. That's Psalm 135:20. So blessing the Lord is involved in fearing the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? It means to speak up and speak out and speak good about the Lord. To speak up and to speak good about the Lord. So blessing the Lord. Number two, praising the Lord is the next one. Praising the Lord is involved. When you fear the Lord, you'll be praising the Lord. Why? Because you're recognizing who he is and what he is doing. Psalms 22:23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. So praising the Lord is part of fearing the Lord. Chapter 40 of Psalms, verse 3 says, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So as we praise the Lord, people will actually respond and fear the Lord also. So blessing the Lord and praising the Lord are involved in fearing the Lord. Matthew needs some notes. Who has notes? There we go. Thank you very much. You thought you were going to get away without writing tonight. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. We talked about this 3 weeks ago, and this is describing, actions describing the fear of the Lord. What does the fear of the Lord look like in action? Number three, it has to do with intention. So I call it purposing the fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you are looking for opportunities to fear the Lord as well. You're looking for, how can I fear the Lord in this situation? Psalm 119, my favorite psalm in all the Bible, even greater than Psalm 1. I know that's a surprise to some. But Psalm 119:38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Okay, being devoted, you're purposing, my heart is fixed on fearing you, to respond properly to who you are, God. So purposing to fear the Lord. I'm leaning toward you. I'm seeking to fear you in all that I do. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. It's something that you've chosen to do. Number four. Hoping in the Lord's mercy. Hoping in the Lord's mercy. Chapter 33 of Psalm, verse 18 says this, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who what? Hope in His mercy. This is one of those Hebrewisms where they say the same thing two different ways. Fearing the Lord, in part, is hoping on His mercy. Because we fear the Lord, we understand who He is and what He's done and what He is like. And we rest on the fact that He is a merciful God. So we hope in His mercy. Psalm 147:11. Notice this here. This is an amazing statement here. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. In those who what? Hope in His mercy. It restates fearing the Lord with those who hope in His mercy. We fear the Lord because we recognize how great He is, but we also recognize how good He is and how merciful He is. So that's part of fearing the Lord. You're understanding how great and good He is. And so you're resting in His mercy. This one overlaps a little bit with last week, or 3 weeks ago, I guess. But number five, fearing the Lord involves obeying His commandments. Obeying the Lord's commandments. Psalm 111:10, the first part of the verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've heard that before in the book of Proverbs. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. Right? You get it. If you're obeying God, you understand what's going on. Because He is worthy of obedience. He deserves obedience. He demands obedience. He judges disobedience. So obeying the Lord's commands is inherent in fearing the Lord. Psalm 128:1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And here's one of those Hebrewisms here. It restates it. What is fear of the Lord? Who walks in His ways. So fearing the Lord is not something you can do without obeying the Lord. They're the same thing. You can't say you walk with God and not keep His commandments. They don't go together. If someone says they fear the Lord, they do not do what God says, you have to call them into account and say you're misunderstanding what God has said, or you're deceiving your own self, right? Obeying the Lord's commandments. Number six. Involved with fearing the Lord is learning the Lord's truth. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Psalm 25:12. Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. So the fear of the Lord is connected directly with God teaching you. If you do not fear the Lord, there is no grounds for learning from the Lord. You will not submit to listening to what God is teaching through his word or through his teachers. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. And that leaves everyone else out, it sounds like. Learning the Lord's truth is part of fearing the Lord. So, tonight is a good example of that, right? At least the study part of it that we're doing is partly acknowledging the fear of the Lord. It's exercising the fear of the Lord by being taught, allowing yourself to be taught. This one reminds me of Psalm chapter 1. Number 7 is delighting in the Lord's commandments. What's the difference between obeying the Lord's commands in number 5 and delighting in the Lord's commands in number 7? Attitude for sure is part of it. I agree with that. I would say attitude plus ongoing focus is what delight is. In his law, he meditates what in Psalm 1? Day and night. Delight is choosing to focus upon. Okay? Delighting in is choosing with the right attitude to focus on the Word of God day and night. Right? Here's what it says here. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And again, it restates the fear of the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. So, someone who fears the Lord is someone that is delighting in the commandments of the Lord. I want to know what God says so that I can do what God wants. That's an expression of the fear of the Lord. So let me review the first 7. 7 actions so far describing the fear of the Lord. Blessing the Lord. Speaking up about the Lord and saying good things about the Lord. Praising the Lord. Acknowledging who he is and what he's done. Purposing to fear the Lord. You're deciding, you're intending to fear the Lord. You're devoted to the fear of the Lord. You're wanting to know how God sees this so I can respond in a right way. Number 4, hoping in the Lord's mercy. The fear of the Lord sometimes makes us think of being afraid, but it's just the right response to who God is. He is the most powerful being in all of the universe. He's infinite and he's endless in the sense of his power and wisdom and all that. But he's also a God of love and a God of mercy. And so we acknowledge that and we rest in that, and that is part of the fear of the Lord as well. 5 is obeying the Lord's commandments. You cannot say you fear the Lord if you're not seeking to obey what God says. Number 6, learning the Lord's truth. It goes hand in hand with fearing the Lord. You cannot fear the Lord if you do not know what the Lord says. And we know that our hearts do not come to God's conclusions, right? So we need the revelation of God to bring us to that point. Number 7, delighting in the Lord's commandments. Focusing on in a constant way on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not something you punch like a time card. It's a lifestyle. It's the way you live. Number 8 now. And these get, at least some of them get a little tougher, I think. But number 8 is a big one, I think. But having an undistracted heart. I'm going to say that a couple times. Having an undistracted heart. One more time. The fear of the Lord is having an undistracted heart. Let me read Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Help me not to be distracted. We live in an age of distraction. Whether it's lyrics, frivolous lyrics running through our minds or details about movies or sports. There's so much to distract us from the things that are eternal. having an undistracted heart. Unite my heart to fear your name. That would be a good, there's a chorus that somebody wrote for that verse. It'd be good to pull that one out. Number 9, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Psalm 2 verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We are to not just sit back and say, yeah, I'm a child of God. We're to get up and serve God. Do service for God. A Christian should be identified by what they do, not just what they say. Both go together. Number 10. This might tie into praising the Lord. Praising the Lord could be directly to God. Number 10 is testifying of the Lord. That's talking to others about God. Okay? Specifically, Psalm 64 verse 9. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. The idea that we should be declaring the work of God. We should be speaking out about who God is and what he's done. Here it's the focus on what he has done. Psalm 118 verse 4 says, let those who fear the Lord say, now say, his mercy endures forever. One of the things, again, is acknowledging the Lord's mercy. It ties into number 4, hopes in the Lord's mercy. Here, you're testifying of the Lord's mercy. His mercy endures forever. People probably, I would say, the media misrepresents God as a bolt of lightning or something. And God is a holy God, but he's also a God of mercy. That's why he sent Jesus to deal with our sin, because God could not have mercy in any other way. Okay? Number 11 here now. Worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Chapter 5 of Psalm verse 7. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Do we worship toward the holy temple? Which direction is the temple? Yeah, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. What temple are they talking about here in the Old Testament? They're talking about a building, right? And they would face, pray toward, even when Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, bless those that pray toward this place. All right. Now, probably if you aimed it right, you could probably aim toward the temple in quite a few different directions from here, going around the world in different directions, right? East or west. But the idea here, I think the principle here is that we need to worship God. It's acknowledging, and I think that's what the Lord's Prayer even is. It's the idea of recognizing God as our Father. And his kingdom come, his will be done, right? It's worshiping God and also acknowledging who he is, his loving kindness, his holiness, his goodness, his omnipotence, his omniscience. All of those things go hand in hand, especially when we face difficulties. It's good to remember that God could have kept you out of it if he wanted to, right? All of those things. Remember the book of Job? God didn't keep Job out of things. He let him go through them. Right? So worshiping the Lord. So that would be corporately probably gathering together, but also on an ongoing basis, honoring the Lord in that way. Number 12. And this one will tie in with worshiping the Lord corporately. Connecting with others who fear the Lord. Now this is surprising, but it shouldn't be, because it's kind of the way God does things in the New Testament. Look at 4 different passages bring this idea up. Psalm 15:4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He's talking about someone who the Lord honors. These things God hates, but who does one God honors? One who keeps his word, but he also someone who in whose eyes a vile person is despised, someone who looks down on not the sinner but the sin. He who honors those who fear the Lord. One who fears the Lord is looking out for others who also fear the Lord. Because there's a camaraderie, there's a connection through the Holy Spirit that we have through them. Psalm 119 has three statements about this. Psalm 119:63 says, I'm a companion of all who fear you. That's worth underlining, right? I am a companion of all who fear you. We're all on the same team at that point. And of those who keep your precepts. By the way, who fear your name and keep your precepts are stated as substitutes, right? Those go together. If someone's not keeping the precepts, they're not truly fearing the Lord. Psalm 119:74, those who fear you will be glad when they see me. How is that stated? That's stated in a way that I will live in a way that those who fear you will be encouraged by me. Isn't that a neat way to say it? Huh? Those who fear you will be glad when they see me. That's quite a commitment. You live in a way so that other believers who are desiring to live for God look forward to seeing you because they're encouraged by your walk. Okay? Because I have hoped in your word, you are walking in light of the hope of the word. And then Psalm 119:79, let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, I'm on their side, I'll help them as needed. So connecting with others who fear the Lord is evidence of an active life of fearing God. Okay? Number 13, making commitments to the Lord. And we actually talked about this. Sean did in his, let's see, when did we talk about vows? I think it was in the book of Numbers last year. But the idea of making vows was something that was encouraged in the Old Testament. That make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Psalm 76 verse 11. So the idea is that you do things for God, like if you will, over and above your normal obedience to honor God. And then do them. You make commitments and then do those. So making commitments. You're going over and above the regular lifestyle of obedience to do special things for God. The vows, if you will. The number 14. Giving to the Lord. It's actually the second part of the previous verse we looked at. Let all who are around bring him presents to him who ought to be feared. Honoring God, fearing God is acknowledging him with our finances and our property and our things as well. Why? Because God needs your stuff and God needs your money? No, it is a reflection of your response to God providing it, your response to God who's worthy of your money, your things, and a way just to say thank you. So let me repeat these last eight here. Actions describing the fear of the Lord, numbers 8 through 14. Having an undistracted heart, unite my heart to fear your name. It means an undistracted heart. Work not to fill your mind with empty prattle. Number 9, serving the Lord, actively doing something rather than just existing for the Lord. God placed you on the earth to serve him and do things to promote his kingdom and his will. Number 10, testifying of the Lord. That's sharing about the Lord with others, including God's mercy and his works in the two verses we looked at. Worshiping the Lord, just taking time to focus on who he is and what he's done. In the Old Testament was a seventh of all of your time, plus multiple feasts, right? Times that you could not work that were set aside to focus on God for extended periods of time that included eating or not eating, working or not working, depending on what it was. Number 12, connecting with others who fear the Lord. I think our church family's big on that. But it is right and good to keep reiterating our need to find and encourage others who fear the Lord and be an encouragement to those who do fear the Lord. Making commitments to the Lord. Vows, again, I would just probably relay that in the New Testament to doing special things for the Lord. Over and above, setting aside extended periods of time for service or study or worship or helping others or whatever the case might be. It's doing over and above your normal routine and normal responsibilities. And then the last one that Psalm brings out is giving to the Lord. We should, those who fear the Lord, bring gifts to Him because He is worthy of our gifts. He doesn't need them. That's not the point of it. It's saying, You are valuable to me, God. Thank You for what You're doing to me, God. And God, You gave me all of this anyway. You are first in my life and in my belongings. Okay, questions or comments? That was a fast 14. You probably never thought I could do that fast, did you? You're like, we're going to be here for 3 hours. Questions or comments? Sometimes I even ask for additions or deletions, but you get the idea. That's all in the comments. Isn't it amazing what all the Bible says about the fear of the Lord? And this is not exhaustive. This is the book of what? Psalms. Yep, so it's not everything the Bible says about the fear of the Lord. It's everything that the book of Psalms says about what the fear of the Lord looks like. Okay? Yeah, Dan. Mm-hmm. That's the book of Proverbs. And we actually brought that out 3 weeks ago. But there's quite a few statements. I think Psalm 37 has a list of those. Fear the Lord, trust the Lord, things like that. That are reflective on the Lord. Rest in the Lord, I think, is another one in Psalm 37. So there's a list of those too. So, but yeah, we have not emptied the Bible. Alright, and never will, but good point. Ultimately, trusting the Lord is a response to fearing the Lord. Because you're acknowledging who He is, what He's done, and what He has promised. Abraham believed God, right? And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Judy. The delight, yeah, attitude plus focus. Yeah, it's not duty and focus, it's attitude and focus. It's like the right, yeah, continued focus of the right attitude. Mm-hmm. Psalm 119 is absolutely fascinating. Delight is huge. It's all about the Bible. Psalm 119 is all about the word or thy word or the law of the Lord. And another one that's fascinating is the word delight, but also with my whole heart. 5 times in the book of, or the chapter 119, alone, with my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments, right? Different things like that. Psalm 119 is a whole year's worth of preaching. Easy. Other things. Sunday in the chapel, correct? So that's where we'll be without we. We as in our church family. So a meeting in the chapel, and it's a single service. It's starting at the normal time, ending with the snack time. What's not to like about that? Right? And that will also be the case next week too, or the following week. So the first 2 weeks there, because a lot of us are just gone, and so it's a little easier to function that way. So thank you for your flexibility, and thank you for your prayers while we're gone. And it's just nice to be able to go away with my wife for a week, too. I don't get that very often, so. It's supposed to be really hot now. We heard it's going to be 71 one day. So we're really sweating it out up there. So we're looking forward to that after this. But I work with people that work in Phoenix. So our idea of hot isn't really their idea of hot. So I was interacting with a gal today in Phoenix or Tempe or so. I don't know where she's at, but she said, yeah, it's 110 right now. And it's not that hot. It's cooled off, you know. It's like, so she said, don't get eaten by a bear up in Alaska. And I said, well, I think if it's that cool and that nice, I said, being eaten by a bear isn't that bad after all, you know. You get a warm coat? Yeah. Yeah. All righty. Let's close with a word of prayer. Okay. Father, thank you for our study tonight. Lord, we want to fear you. It's so hard. Lord, the one that just makes it hard to do, I think, in our age and our culture is to fear you with an undistracted heart. Lord, it is so easy to be preoccupied with all of the noise that our culture throws at us through all of the media, all of the things that we have. Lord, help us to escape such things so that we can focus on you as the one that drives us and delights us day and night. Lord, thank you again for just teaching us. We know we're slow learners at times, but Lord, just keep working in our hearts and lives that we might please you and honor you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.